Good morning, everyone, and we welcome you to our Sunday morning roundtable this morning on this very beautiful Sunday, May 31st, 2020. We are recording from the Plainfield Christian Science Church Independent, Plainfield, New Jersey, the United States of America, and we are so very glad you could all join us. And we will begin by our prayer, our morning prayer.
Today I'm reading from Miscellaneous Writings, page 134, and the Blue Book, page 61. Be of one mind in one place, and God will pour you out a blessing such as you never before received. He who dwelleth in eternal light is bigger than the shadow and will guard and guide his own. Oh, that an influx of divine light and glory may enter each and every one of our hearts, and that you be endued anew with power from on high. Mary Baker Eddy.
It's beautiful and so appropriate for this day, our Pentecost day. All right, in our watching point, which we've shortened a bit.
Watch number 261. Watch lest old theology tempt you to feel that there is virtue in paying one's respects to the dead as done on Memorial Day. While we may have to go through the outward form at times in order to satisfy mortal mind, in our hearts we should use the day wholly to break down the belief that there are any dead, since man never dies. When we assent to the world's belief in death, we open the way for our dying. Therefore, we should always resist such suggestion and evidence strongly and strenuously. Once, when one of the students asked her permission to put flowers on the graves of Mrs. Eddy's family on Memorial Day, she replied, quote, "I love you and thank you, but they sleep not there. Let the dead bury their dead. Jesus," end quote.
Thank you. Comments on that?
I feel that she's really telling us to awake to know that death is that last enemy that the scriptures talk about, that we shouldn't be worshiping it, making it real, or with the many different things that are done when somebody dies. And in my own culture, there was so much done to rather keep it up as if it's real, and as you know, sadden people, grief, mourning, and all this. And I think it's a beautiful way to alert us all to know that death, there is no such thing as death, and that as we grow spiritually, we will find that it really is a contradiction to God as life eternal.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yes.
Yes. Jesus overcame the belief of death. He didn't yield to it.
Yep.
Because to yield to it would be an offense to God. Thank you, Florence.
Yeah, all these human ceremonies that we have, and they are human, as Christian scientists, we must be quite aware and alert to them. I know many of you get invited to funerals. And if you go, you make sure you have your armor on, because they are mostly, if not entirely, believing in death. And of course we don't. I have, my brother had given me something I'd never seen before from Bignell Young, where his wife passed on, and he was very, very close to his wife. Both Bignell Young and his wife were musicians. She was Italian. I guess she had a beautiful voice. And anyway, they were very close. They had two sons. And when she passed on, he sent out a notice to all the students, everybody, no flowers, no no notes, nothing. There is no death. He was not going to acknowledge it. He couldn't come down from that mountaintop, which he was on, helping and healing people. You know, this is why I have to take such a stand with what's going on now, because if I listen to what the medical is saying, I mean, people are calling me for help with this problem. What good would I be if I listened to all the these dire predictions? We cannot come down from the mountain. Now, other people are different, and you, everyone's different that listens to this. You have to take what we give you and incorporate into your own life, which you feel is where you're coming from. But I did not go to my brother's funeral. I couldn't at that time. It just wasn't the right thing for me to do at that time.
God had better things for you to do.
That's true. But again, everyone has their own thing to do. And I will tell you, I know Karen picks out these watching points. We always had that watching point every Memorial Day. It was something we all worked together in unity. And when we get these weekly watching points, we should be working together in unity. Also on Memorial Day, Veterans Day, these other days, we need to express appreciation and love for our soldiers, our veterans, for all those, and for those who have made, as they say, the ultimate sacrifice. We are grateful for that. We make sure, and daily we should be praying for our military and those in that kind of service who work unselfishly for all of us so we can have freedom that we enjoy.
And then we sure make sure that we maintain the freedom that God gives us so that they have not died in vain.
Thank you. Which leads us to our subject. I just want to add, it wasn't because I didn't love my brother dearly that I didn't go to his funeral. Anyway, it was because I did love him dearly, and I wanted to hold him in eternal life. Okay, our subject, ancient and modern necromancy, alias mesmerism and hypnotism denounced. One of my very favorites. And we have someone new who's been sending things to me. Eventually, I'm sure she'll write on the forum, but she's another from California. We've had this big influx from California. Yay, California. Good for you guys. Anyway, she...
There's hope yet.
Now. Okay. She said she found this from the Long Year Museum on the weekly lessons. The lesson title was first, Ancient and Modern Necromancy or Mesmerism and Hypnotism. It was later changed. Mrs. Eddy made the final change in October 1910 when alias was substituted for or and denounced added at the end of ancient and modern necromancy or, thus reading, ancient and modern necromancy, alias mesmerism and hypnotism denounced. And she gives the definition of denounce as threatened by open declaration as punished. As punishment is denounced against the ungodly, to declare as a threat is what I found. So, and you know, Mrs. Eddy, we've talked about this, where she has said, and I didn't spend time looking for it, it's probably in the blue book, but she says something to the effect that animal magnetism or era, I acknowledge your claims, but what?
I denounce.
Thank you. I denounce your power. A strong word to use. You denounce the power. And this is where we have to be clear in our work. Don't get so bogged down in what's going on in the world right now that you are part of the problem and all
foofed up.
Yeah, foofed up, as I like to say, or aggravated, upset. Then you leave science. Peace and science. On one side, there'll be science and peace. On the other side, there will be what?
Discord and dismay.
Yes. Now, do you want to be on the discord and dismay side? If you are discord and dismay, you are not watching. You're not doing your work. And I know it's hard because you have these pictures in the paper and on the news constantly. But this whole thing, it's why we have this lesson twice a year, because it's the occult. It's mesmerism and hypnotism. And this is where we must be wise. You can't believe, the mainstream media and a lot that's presented is not the truth. It's out there to mesmerize you. And if it pulls you in, you're cooked. And as that practitioner said, if you convince me, we're both sunk. So stay out of that. Don't go there. Denounce it. We're not stupid. We acknowledge your claims. We're not these people where, as Mrs. Eddy said, you have your head in the sky and you're being shot full of holes. We acknowledge the claims. We know errors out there rampant, but we denounce the power and we stay on that side. And you don't come down from that hilltop mountain. We can't afford it. Because if we get into discord and dismay, of what use are we? None. So, and this round table is here not to tell you what to think, but to let you clear your own thought and mind and stay on that right side so that you can see what you need to see and judge righteous judgment. What did, Jeremy, what did you say about coming here and the watching? And
oh, well, I mean, before coming here, I got increasingly terrified by the news. I think it was about the, 300th time I saw the towers come down that it was just too much and I couldn't see it anymore and I feared for my kids and everything. So then to come here, and to start learning how to watch and learning to see beyond that picture, I kind of feel like it's, if you drive in your car and then you realize that there's something wrong with it, you don't stay in the driver's seat. You got to get out of that and then fix it. You got to get out of that system and then work on it from the outside. And I feel that's what Christian Science does. It gets out of that. And then we look at it and we realize this is not the true picture. So,
thank you. This is why we watch, to keep our thought pure and clear on these issues. And it's not to make a reality of the problem, but to see the allness of God. And it can change everything. And it is. We might not be hearing of the good things that are going on, but this lesson goes on and on about all these things that are going to happen. All these awful things, right? And then what does it say for us to do?
Endure to the end.
Endure to the end. Yes, and?
Persist.
Lift up thought.
Yes. Be not troubled. Right? And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. And this is Jesus telling us, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. And then he does go ahead. Those that endure till the end shall be saved. And Mrs. Eddy speaks of that too. And we'll get to that because Florence wrote about it on the forum. But it says, again, later in 2 Timothy, men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to their parents, unthankful, unholy. It goes on, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. What are we to do?
Don't be deceived.
Yes, and from such, turn away. Turn away. Don't listen to it if it gets you all riled up. And then, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and has been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. What do we learn them from?
God.
Yes, God. Christ Jesus, Mrs. Eddy. Focus on that. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And then all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Gary was saying what Mrs. Eddy says, we hold fast to what?
Steadfastly, yeah. Where are you holding your thoughts steadfastly to? Are you glued to the boob tube and watching the propaganda? You listening to the stuff that comes other than from the scripture? Are you allowing yourself to be mesmerized? Think about it. Go. Take one day and count the number of times that you get distracted in your watching by some false belief, some evil claim. When it comes to you, what do? Do you give it power? Do you acknowledge it and fear it? Or do you acknowledge it and say, no, you don't. You are not of God. I will not accept it. And I will not accept it for anybody in this world.
And in doing so, that doesn't mean we're stupid and we don't know what the heck's going on. And we're a bunch of idiots and we keep our head buried in the sand. We know exactly what's going on. And we know past the erroneous pictures as to what's going on. And we know truly what is happening. This is where we should be. And when you really are doing this, you will be peaceful. And you won't be so dismayed. If you get where you're dismayed and upset, you're on the wrong side, and stop it. Get yourself back to where you should be.
Now, if what comes to you is a great offense to God, you have a right to get upset. You have a right to get upset about it and shout at it and beat the crap out of it when it's an offense to God. And once you've done that, you will gain your peace.
Yes. And the warfare is where?
Inside.
It's a mental. It's inside. And that's what's happening now. This is, you know, there's a war in heaven, frankly. And yeah, it is true. We can. A lot of what's going on is very offensive to God. It's an insult. It's trying to rule him out of his kingdom. Of course, that's impossible. So we work with power and with vigor. But I have found that the people who are the most upset over things are not doing what? They're not watching.
Because if you follow the watches, then you see that we do handle things as they come up.
Right. And you don't stop watching until you have destroyed the beliefs that annoy you.
Yeah, right. And that's a good watch. You're at peace. So if you're not at peace, you haven't done your watch and you keep working. You know, Jeremy has done a wonderful job on our website under watching. So many things are in there. Wonderful things. And if you haven't looked at it, you should look at it. From Collectania, it says, watch, take up the watch every 2 hours as long as you live. Or until you can make right side real in your consciousness. Hello, okay? This isn't easy. As long as you live every 2 hours, you keep at it. Stay demesmerized.
It's better than feeling awful every 2 hours.
Yes. And then he gives it. It's a beautiful article from Parthens, who talks about the story of Esther and how she watched, how she withdrew from everything and watched and changed the outcomes of what was to happen
to all the Jewish people.
To all the Jewish people. And it gave her the wisdom to speak when she needed to and to be quiet when she needed to. And it didn't take a lot of people. It took one person, Esther. Stay demesmerized by all of this. And I love too, and I think we should have this on every watch we send out. To the Watchers, from Watches, Prayers, and Arguments, as given by Mary Baker Eddy, page 49. Hear, O Israel, for the Lord our God is one God. And this is Eddy. You are not to come in your own name to pray. What does that mean?
Not you, your own will.
Yeah, your own. This is what I want, God. This is what I see is happening in the world. And all this stuff's going on. And this is what should be going on, God. And this is what you need to do. Forget that. You are not to control any mind. You are to come only in the divine strength and know that God will rule and does, and that hypnotism and evil minds cannot and do not control men or governments. All power is God good. This is my only formula to Christian Scientists for prayer, and God will give you faith that will remove mountains. Get that in your soul. And Lawrence and I have talked about, because I know I have very strong beliefs, which I try to keep out of the round table. I'm not always successful. But ultimately, what do we know, Florence? Who knows what's right and wrong?
The one and only God.
Yes. Yes. Only God knows. And we have to bow before that and not get our human will into it. And all this division, and you can't even talk to people anymore because they're just going to fight with this one knows that and the other one knows this. So,
but that's the tool of the devil.
Yes.
The tool is a divider.
Yes.
God is a unifier. So if you feel divided and anxious and angry at others, if you feel that division, you're listening to the wrong voice.
Thank you.
That's funny. Page 49 has come. I worked with that this past weekend because it kept coming. Then this right there, you have to come. Sorry. Where it says that God will rule and does. That's so comforting to me.
Yes. And, you know, if we all do this, or even if just two or three are gathered in his name, not your name, not what you want, not that this one is awful and horrible and I hate that one and what the hell's going on and yeah. No. In his name, whatever that is the devil trying to get you to think all of this is true and these people are horrible or whatever else. And if it does that, it's got you. So that watch should be on all our watches. We just add it now. It's on our website under watches, but we'll put it first to make sure everyone, before they do the watch, they clear their heads and let God's will be done. Powerful. This is Mrs. Eddy. So...
And to finish what Jesus says in Matthew, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. Nobody is going to be left out of this cleansing process. Yeah. Nobody. Nobody in China, nobody in North Korea, nobody in Iran, nobody in Venezuela, nobody anywhere is going to be left out. But what's going to do it? Is it a human government that's going to do it? No. Is it an army or a navy that's going to do it?
No.
No. It is the right thinking of every one of you, of every one of us. It is our seeing correctly what God created and insisting upon that as the only reality. and not being mesmerized by the picture that is trying to tell us that evil is real and more powerful than good. We as Christian Scientists have a solemn responsibility not to be mesmerized. That is your power. That is your safety. That is your salvation. That is your life. We don't have a choice. But what a glorious life it is.
Yeah, what it really.
And who would want anything else?
I was with Jeremy when I was a young adult. Oh my gosh, the world was horrible. Oh, good grief. And I was a so-called Christian Scientist. And it wasn't until I learned and came here and learned about watching. I also learned about animal magnetism because I was very naive and thought everything was wonderful and God is love. And it would seem like a big red dragon came up and tried to knock us out of the box. And so what were we to do about it? We learned what to do about it. So what we say here is not just words. We've proven all of this.
We wouldn't be alive if it weren't true. We wouldn't be here as a church if we hadn't had to prove it to ourselves. We are so grateful to those who got us excommunicated however many years ago.
What a blessing
it's been. What a blessing that has been for us to be excommunicated from ecclesiastical despotism.
And it taught us these huge lessons that we never would have learned, and how to deal with the animal magnetism that would appear to be out to destroy you. Yes, it's not nice. It's aggressive. In belief, it is. But the only way it can get you is if it draws you into it, into your dream, and gets you to fight it on its terms. There's only the one way, and it's God's way. You've got to stay out of it and above it. And judge righteous judgment. And when you do that, you will see more clearly what is going on. And you won't have this sense of discord and dismay. God is working. He's everywhere, isn't he? Yeah. And it does say rumors of wars, earthquakes, pestilence, all these things are going to happen. But be not troubled.
A phrase from a hymn, too. It says, God is on the field, although he seems invisible.
Thank you.
Trust it.
He is there.
Something is going on. Hearts are being pricked.
Yes.
Like we said a couple of weeks ago. You know, who can guess what God's doing?
Who can guess?
But he's there.
He would have to be, because he's all in all.
Yep.
So.
Martha Wilcox says in class teaching that the good that's unseen is God, and the good that is seen is the Christ. And I've been thinking of that a lot. That's,
thank you. So, Frank, my German friend, was telling me that the word passion in German is Leidenschaft. Leiden stands for suffering. Schaft says to originate and to create. Passion originates and creates suffering. In other words, and it talks about it in our golden text, abstain from fleshly lusts. When you get overexcited, the American definition is what? Uncontrollable passions. When you get overexcited and, you know, just want to kill everybody or whatever, it's going to lead to suffering. It doesn't lead to peace and holiness. You've got to go back. Got to go back to the Ten Commandments. You got to stand with the Sermon on the Mount. You can't fight fire with fire. It doesn't mean you're ignorant. It's a good thing. What we're hearing about, knowing what your enemies are doing. Now, this goes to, it's funny because Carrie sent the same thing that Florence wrote on the forum about that article from the April 3rd, 1915 issue of the Christian Science Sentinel. So what did that say about ancient and modern necromancy, the topic subject, Florence?
The article is talking about this particular subject, and it's saying that the sermon, Ancient and Modern Necromancy, alias Mesmerism and Hypnotism, Denounced, is the only one in the series which has as its specific object the exposure of error, its subtlety, its powerlessness, and its utter nothingness. And she says that some Christian Scientists labor under the mistaken impression that they do not like the sermon, yet we all should realize that its teachings are very vital, else it would not have been given us. Its importance may be discerned to some extent if we will but remember that Mrs. Eddy was not able to publish the first edition of Science and Health until she had prepared the chapter on animal magnetism, as we read in Retrospection and Introspection, page 37 and 38. On page 64 of the same work, Mrs. Eddy states, "It is scientific to abide in conscious harmony, in health-giving, deathless truth and love." But she immediately points out that to do this, mortals must first open their eyes to all the elusive forms, methods, and subtlety of error, in order that the illusion error may be destroyed, adding the significant warning, if this is not done, mortals will become the victims of error. Essentially.
Thank you. This is what used to drive Mrs. Evans crazy in the organization, because nobody wanted to touch anything on a negative. No, the Lord forbid you even mention it. A negative nature. We have to know. And as you develop your spiritual sense, you will know. But remember, it operates as illusion. See it for what it is, and don't be deceived by it. And as the lesson says, it's difficult not to be deceived, because there are all these false prophets, there's all this stuff going on, and people telling you what is what. Well, you take it back and you ask God. And frankly, if it makes you all upset and angry and all of this, lighter shaft, it's not what God sent. If it leads to all this fighting and looting, and that's not God. Lighter shaft. Passion. The origin of suffering. You know, even the passion, that word passion, the passion of the Christ, what was that?
It was just by him crucified.
It was his crucifixion. And that was instigated by what? Passion, angry, hate.
By the deep state, by the organization. It was the rabbis. Those who were in control of the human organizations, who were threatened by a higher understanding of God. And that's all we ever have to battle, is ignorance and fear that rears its ugly head. And most of the time, the devil doesn't come at you with a sword or a weapon. Most of the time, the devil comes to you with a whisper in your ear saying,
sneaks in.
Listen to me. I'll take care of you. God's not going to be there all the time. So you need me to take care of you. So, vote for me and I'll give you all these free things.
You don't need church.
And you don't need church.
Church
you don't
is
need
not
all that
essential.
Stuff.
And maybe church, the building, you might not think is essential, but these are steps. These are steps of taking away our liberty. Who tells us these things? You know, Mrs. Eddy said, what, first the cheese, then the pie.
Then my life.
It comes a little bit here, a little bit there, you know, mm-hmm. and pretty soon it's gone.
And this is the subtlety that most people don't want to acknowledge. This is why Mrs. Eddy was forced by God to put this lesson in the lesson, to put this subject in the textbook before the textbook could be printed. Most of us want to live on the life is good side, right? Show me the good. Make my life pleasant. Well, it doesn't work that way. Because error nips at the heel of truth. Wherever the truth is, the lie will try to come to you. And when the lie comes to you, you need to be able to recognize it as for what it is. And not have a conversation with it like Eve did with the serpent. Once you start to have a conversation with it, you're sunk.
And a short conversation was all it took. So.
Yeah.
I had seen in Lessons of the Seventh Day, Mrs. Eddy said, saying, nothing but the wisdom of God can handle the wisdom of the serpent. It will trip you up if you humanly try to argue with it. Only the wisdom of God will flip it over. And that's where you have to stay. And I can't do this for you. You have to do it. All of you, everybody, we each do. And ultimately, we are only responsible for
ourselves.
Oh. Yes. And how we are viewing the world. Because if you view it as a horrible, hateful place, well, guess what? And you'll see it more and more and more.
It will follow you wherever you move to.
Yeah, it will.
So moving around and running from it doesn't help. You have to face it and deal with it. And that's why we watch. And that's why watches are necessary. It's not an optional thing. It really is necessary. Because while we're here on this earth, the devil's going to try you. I mean, it's going to happen.
And the way Jesus did, he said, it is written. That's all we need to do.
Yeah, go back to the Bible, back to the text. Go back to the truth.
Thank you. It tried him, and he taught us how to deal with it. The wisdom of Scripture, period. The wisdom of God, period.
And truly, as Mrs. Eddy said, she herself said, follow me only as I follow. Well, that is certainly true here in this church. And anything we say and do, and Lord knows we're just people. Everything we say and do might not be just perfect or to your liking. This is a round table. People sometimes express their feelings. So that's the way it is. Go take it back if you don't agree. Take it back. What does the Bible say? What does Mrs. Eddy say? Always do that. It's a way to live your life. It's interesting because I read this in Retrospection and Introspection this week, and it goes along with the responsive reading. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. That's where we lay aside all the malice and guile. As newborn babes, Mrs. Eddy says on page 61, posterity will have the right to demand that Christian Science be stated and demonstrated in its godliness and grandeur. That however little be taught or learned, that little shall be right. Let there be milk for babes, but let not the milk be adulterated. Unless this method be pursued, the science of Christian healing will again be lost and human suffering will increase. Test Christian Science by its effect on society, and you will find that the views here set forth as to the illusion of sin, sickness, and death bring forth better fruits of health, righteousness, and life than a belief in their reality has ever done. A demonstration of the unreality of evil destroys evil. And that's the only way it is destroyed, I'm adding. You have to demonstrate its unreality, but you do that in your own thought, in your own thinking. Starts there and ends there. Now, the golden text, Linda.
Yeah, I actually, it really was meaningful to me with the use the story along with Saul, because he was.
Well, read it. Read the golden text.
Sorry. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you.
Okay, and what? Go ahead.
Oh, well, Saul did not draw nigh to God. He got farther and farther away, and I believe it started with his jealousy, and then it went downhill after that. And then when he tried to turn to God, he couldn't hear him, but it was his falling away. God didn't go anywhere.
Yeah, he said, God has departed from me. And later on in the lesson, it talks about none of these things happen unless what?
We fall away.
You fall away, and you start falling away with these thoughts. And as Gary brought out, it starts with something little, like maybe with Saul. He was jealous of David, seemed justified to him. So he let that thought of jealousy get hold of him. And then pretty soon he didn't know God anymore. Now, this idea of falling away is so important, because I tell you, anytime I've fallen away or things have happened, I can always trace it back to where I started accepting lies as truth. And if I can do that and see it, it won't happen again. Mrs. Eddy says that Christian Science is preventative as well as curative. I much prefer the preventative measures.
Yeah.
Catch it early when it's whispering its lies to you. And then Martha Wilcox says that the greater things, does anyone know what she says? When Christ Jesus talks about the greater things, what are the greater things? We will overcome. Jesus said we will overcome.
Greater things than these thou do.
Mm-hmm. What does Martha Wilcox say the greater things are? What could be greater than raising the dead?
Preventing it.
Yes, she says it's not having it happen in the first place. Right?
Right.
Right. Yep. So, no falling away. Guard yourself. Watch what you're thinking. That's why you don't take in all this error that's on the news. That's how it gets into your... Then you picture these things. I mean, the little that I see on the news, oh, they're asking everybody, what was it like to... problem. I mean, who wants to listen and put that in your head, for heaven's sakes? Stay away. Guard your thought. No falling away.
From them, turn away.
From them, turn away. And there's no fooling around with this. And then Elizabeth was interesting what she found. And when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams nor by Urim, which was the high priest, nor by prophets. So what, is she here?
Yes.
Elizabeth,
yes.
What did you find out? That was interesting to me.
Well, it just struck me that he inquired of the Lord, and then when he didn't get an answer right away, he decided to go to a woman with a familiar spirit. So... he decided to seek answers from something opposite to God. He didn't give God a chance, but he also, when I looked in the commentaries, from the Benson commentary, it says, since he did not continue to inquire of him, God, but went to a diviner, it was all one as if he had not inquired at all, for he did it faintly, coldly, and indifferently.
Thank you.
Yes. Yeah.
And how often do we see, and I know Florence, you know, you come to Christian Science, well, I'll give it a try, you know, if it doesn't work out by tomorrow, then I'm off looking somewhere else.
Find another pill somewhere.
And what you learn from retrospection and introspection, she says, if you give it a fair shake and you look for the results, you'll see them.
Thank you.
Yeah, but a fair shake is the thing.
Yeah. So what should Saul have done?
Kept asking, don't give up.
He should have gotten rid of his jealousy.
Yeah.
He should have looked inside and said, what is in me now that's preventing me from hearing God? That's what he should have done. He should have changed his base, as Mrs. Eddy says. And this is what Christian Science is. It's not a quick fix. It's not a pill. It is a change of base.
Of thought.
Mm-hmm. Of thought, exactly.
And then it cut him off from David. So that's like, to me, with our church, we don't want to cut off our unity. And he could have had David on his side.
That's right.
Right. I mean, he recognized David early as a very special thought, as a very special person. He should have cultivated that. He should have recognized that the good for one is good for all. That good is infinite. If one person can have good, well, then we can all have the same amount of good and more. But his thought wasn't there. His thought was limited. He thought, well, geez, David's taking away stuff that I should have, right? He's taking away the glory that I should have. Well, it doesn't work that way. There's more glory for all of us than we can ever accept.
If we turn to God, accept it. Yes. But you see, this is how your thought gets muddled, and it comes in that way. And you start seeing limitation, and you lose your science, and this one and that one, and he has more than I. I want what he has, and all this stuff. Your thought gets all muddled, and then pretty soon you don't know. You don't know. I'll just leave it at that. You don't know. You don't know. So best you keep taking it back to science. Look at what you think. Look at how you're viewing the world. Are we all just, miserable people that God doesn't love, and God loves others more than others, and so all this imbalance and injustice, and it would appear so, and if you measure it by human terms, it is so. But if you take it back to God, and it's been proven time and time again, people that have had nothing, and how they, when they've turned to God, they've risen up out of it. It's possible for everybody. Keep it on that, and that will keep your vision clear, and you'll be able to see who's who and what's what. Otherwise, you're going to get into a big muddle, and the world is one impossible mess.
An enigma,
as Mr. Yes.
Zeddy says.
And, along with that, Joe wrote about the wizards peeping and muttering, and how people do search for things other than God for their answers. That's why there's so many tarot stores and everything else. But she brought it home to her. Think about what thoughts are peeping and muttering at you to make you unhappy and unfulfilled. And why are you listening to them? And then Parthens brought us a little humor with clinical studies published in major medical journals have shown that giving a patient a round of white sugar pill, shaped like an aspirin, for example, indeed produces a healing effect, but not as powerful as does a smaller blue sugar pill with a letter stamped on it. Moreover, if sugar is administered in the form of a capsule, the healing effect is even stronger than the sugar taken in the tablet form. And a white capsule has a weaker healing effect than a capsule that's yellow on one end and red on the other. The placebo effect is also enhanced by increasing the dosage. Patients taking the sugar pill twice a day were not as benefited as those taking the same sugar pill three doses per day. But beating all those pills out is, drumroll, the mighty needle. Study after study has demonstrated that injecting a completely harmless, inert substance into a patient has the strongest effect of all. And what did you say, Florence?
Well, it's very true. I've given sterile water, just an ampoule of sterile water, seemed to have the same effect as morphine.
Wow.
All this, yes. It go right to sleep. I've got my morphine. Yep.
Wow.
And it was just water, sterile water, yes.
Mm. And Florence speaks from experience.
She, yes.
I did it, I know.
She went.
Yep.
But should that be a surprise to anybody? I mean, as Christian Scientists, we're learning, hopefully, that life is mental. It is spiritual. That our existence is our consciousness. And what goes into our consciousness governs our body, governs our experience. And this went into someone's consciousness and had the effect that they were expecting it to have. But it doesn't, does it? Yeah. No.
But I think it's wonderful that Mrs. Eddy has both the Bible and Science and Health as the pastor, because without that other understanding, the spiritual reality of life, then it's still, I have many Christian friends who still believe, you know, that what I'm feeling is true. I have a headache. I have high blood pressure. I have this. I have this.
And they think
should be in all nations, as the lesson said. So,
all nations everywhere. It is working. People are getting it. We talk about that each week. If you're listening, they are getting it, and we know they're getting it. I'm sorry, Karen wrote something wonderful about attraction. The only attraction is that of spirit. If you haven't read it, you should read it. It's beautiful what Peter V. Ross says about that. And also what Florence said is a beautiful prayer. I first heard about it. It was Parthens that sent it to me, Mrs. Eddy's prayer about enduring to the end. And this is our job, not to give up, not to give in, not to turn away, not to be a Saul. Oh, well, this isn't working. I'll try something else. No, stand strong with it. Keep at it. It is working. It's only error saying it's not. So we will end with ways that are vain and miscellany.
The natural fruits of Christian Science mind healing are harmony, brotherly love, spiritual growth, and activity. The malicious aim of perverted mind power or animal magnetism is to paralyze good and give activity to evil. It starts factions and engenders envy and hatred. But as activity is by no means a right of evil and its emissaries, they ought not to be encouraged in it. Because this age is cursed with one rancorous and lurking foe to human weal, those who are the truest friends of mankind and conscientious in their desire to do right and to live pure and Christian lives should be more zealous to do good, more watchful and vigilant. Then they will be proportionately successful and bring out glorious results. Unless one's eyes are opened to the modes of mental malpractice, working so subtly that we mistake its suggestions for the impulses of our own thought, the victim will allow himself to drift in the wrong direction without knowing it. Be ever on guard against this enemy. Watch your thoughts and see whether they lead you up to God and into harmony with his true followers. Guard and strengthen your own citadel more strongly. Thus, you will grow wiser and better through every attack of your foe, and the golden rule will not rust for lack of use or be misinterpreted by the adverse influence of animal magnetism. Mary Baker Eddy.
Thank you all for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.